Good morning, TNC family. On this second Sunday in May, happy Mother's Day to all mothers, stepmothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, aunts, big sisters, teachers, neighbors, and volunteers who have and do serve a mothering role in our lives and in the lives of those we love, and who, because of it, make our world a better place. Inside our church building today on Old Alabama Road, we're having a big celebration, but I want to say here as well, thank you. You have our love and prayers and deep gratitude, and we honor you on this Mother's Day. We're now, for a few minutes, we shift gears and move into part two of our series on wisdom. Wisdom is supreme, the scriptures say, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. So, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, gain understanding. At which point, I want to suggest today, in part two of this series, that you and I will never gain wisdom and understanding and the good life that comes with it outside of developing the ability to pursue, discover, and embrace truth and what is true in a world that increasingly bombards us with falsehoods. This, of course, is the position of all the great wisdom literature. Gandhi wrote on the foundation of the Hindu scriptures that, quote, devotion to satya, truth, is the sole justification for our existence. And why the Buddha wrote, the gift of truth surpasses all other gifts. The flavor of truth surpasses all other tastes. And the joy of truth is superior to all other joys. This is why the Jewish proverb, chapter 12, verse 22, says, the Lord detests the lips of liars, but words of truth are like a kiss on the lips. This is why the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, writes to a community that he cares deeply about, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to one another in love. And in his letter to Rome, he writes a little more aggressively, chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against those who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And this is why Jesus himself said, John 8, that the truth will set you free. Because truth matters, and it matters now. Or as Thomas Hobbes writes in his book Leviathan, quote, hell is truth seen too late. Which is why I think that somewhere near the very center of our most serious cultural problems is an inability to see truth and to speak truth. The other day, I was in a conversation with a friend, and we were having a difference of opinion about something, and he said to me, well, David, that might be true for you, but it's not true for me. And I was taken back because we weren't talking about whether or not Top Gun Maverick is one of the best movies of all time, in which that statement, well, that might be true for you, but not for me, is totally appropriate. Rather, what we were talking about was closer to whether or not the chemical formula for water is H2O or not, in which that statement, well, that might be true for you, but it's not true for me, is a rather foolish and dangerous thing to say, because for some things there is truth, and it is not just a matter of opinion or something you can discover somewhere in the middle of two differing opinions. Like sometimes folks will say, well, the truth is probably not the liberal news outlet and probably not the conservative news outlet, probably somewhere in the middle, somewhere between the scientists and the vaccine deniers, somewhere between biblical fundamentalists and biblical progressives, somewhere between that friend's advice and that other friend's advice. TNC, that is not how truth works. I mean, imagine if there were podcasts in the year 1543, and we listened to a podcast hosted by Nicholas Copernicus, who said, the Earth and other planets revolve around the sun. But then there was another podcast hosted by the Church of Anonymous Q, who said, the Earth is at the center of the universe, and the sun and all the other planets revolve around us. Well, you can't just say the truth must be somewhere in the middle. And yet, folks fall for that thinking, and when they do, they make knowledge and wisdom almost impossible to attain, which I think is one reason God says in the scriptures through the prophet Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so, in the time that remains here, I want to share what I believe is a big obstacle to our ability to find truth. And then, I want to share three practical approaches to pursuing, discovering, and embracing what is truly true, because we'll never get to wisdom if it's not built on a foundation of truth. And I want us by the end of today to fall in love with truth and to long for understanding the world and everything in it as it truly is. So first, the obstacle to truth, and here it is, any voice that stirs up hate, panic, worry, fear, dissension, and tribalism is likely a voice that will muddle up your ability to discern what's true, because it's going to be exceedingly difficult, TNC, for you to see and respond well in a situation that is clouded by a state of agitation, anger, or fear. I mean, do you want your physician to operate on you in a state of anger? Do you want your plumber to address your leak while agitated and suspicious? Do you want your child's teacher to teach in a state of fear? Of course not. Of course not. Good rarely flows from such emotions. And in the same way, truth and wisdom rarely flow from them either. So why would anyone want to say and do things that engender those feelings in you and me? Well, because those emotions are also what keep you tuned in and coming back and what drive you to the polls. And on this, let me recommend again the work of PhD social psychologist Jonathan Haidt, including his bestseller, The Anxious Generation, and also Dr. Anna Lemke, her best-selling book, Dopamine Nation. And I mentioned before here, a couple years ago, Brian Rosenwald's book called Talk Radio's America. It was published in 2019 about the history of talk radio, which has evolved today into our podcast and YouTube channels and social media and so on. Rosenwald has his PhD from the University of Pennsylvania, where he actually earned a PhD by studying talk radio. And among other things, in the book, he tells the story of how on August 1, 1988, a failed disc jockey and former Kansas City Royals executive named Rush Hudson Limbaugh III made his national radio debut to a relatively small audience, only 56 affiliates, in an era where the AM radio industry was struggling, dying. But Limbaugh would change everything, pioneering an aggressive, entertaining, controversial, boundary-pushing show that people loved. And he'd argue with callers, and he'd cut them off, and he'd hang up on them using embarrassing sound effects. And within a decade, his show would grow from 59 stations to over 1,000. And I'm specifically making zero commentary here, zero, on the political positions of Limbaugh. In the book, Rosenwald describes Limbaugh as a master virtuoso and entertainer. And when the book came out, Limbaugh actually said about Rosenwald, quote, "This guy gets it. This guy gets it more than anybody I've ever encountered in writing about talk radio." As Rush often said to himself, the motivation was, quote, "to charge confiscatory advertising rates," which means how can we make the most money possible? What is the best, most engaging show we can put on every day? A concept quickly copied by cable news and other digital media, and it was the success of radio that led to the development of partisan and ideological cable news television networks. Check it out, friends. Most of your favorite cable news TV personalities became famous first on the radio. And I bring all this up just to make a simple point, which is that this medium has driven controversies and quarrels and anger and caused agitation and division and has spilled into your own thinking and posts and tweets and texts. But it is hard for truth to emerge from information designed to make you emotionally panicked or hateful or agitated or enraged. I think, too, of the life and words of Jesus and how when you read the stories and you enter the stories, he never communicated with the purpose of magnifying anger or fear or hate, because the way and the truth and the life never communicates with this goal. So be wary of discovering truth from a voice box of one whose main strategy is to stir up controversy, worry, fear, and tribalism. Rather, here are three better ways for us to discover and embrace what is truly true. Number one, first, prioritize evaluation. In the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Said another way, we must learn to evaluate everything that we take in. And I think a great and a practical way to think about this is the way that author and world-renowned scientist Francis Collins puts it in his 2024 book titled The Road to Wisdom, in which he has a whole chapter on truth, where he suggests that in order to discover and embrace truth, all incoming information needs to be placed in one of four categories, four zones. The first zone is what he calls necessary truth. Things not open to opinion or feelings. Doesn't matter if you want them to be true or not, they just are. They're necessarily true. For example, 2 + 2 = 4. The area of a circle is pi times the radius squared. Energy and matter are directly related. Humans do exist, and you and I are humans. The next category, he says, is the zone of firmly established facts. Conclusions that are overwhelmingly supported by actual evidence over an extended period of time, like, he says, the Earth is orbiting the sun. DNA is a hereditary material of humans. Heavy cigarette smoking is associated with a significantly increased risk of cancer. Canada is our neighbor to the north. The Wright brothers' first flight was at Kitty Hawk in 1903. The Holocaust really happened, and 6 million Jews were exterminated by the Nazis. This zone also includes things that are almost always true, he says, although there might be rare exceptions. Things like literacy is beneficial to the well-lived life. Vaccines have sufficiently high standards of safety and efficacy to provide benefit. Hard work will usually reap positive results compared to laziness. Broccoli is better for your body than fast food, and so on. These are firmly established facts. And what's great about these is you learn to fall in love with these things in this category, and you will generally see your life get better very fast. The next category, he says, is the zone of uncertainty. And remember, when information comes in, you want to be able to place it in one of these four zones. Third zone, zone of uncertainty, where more research is needed. Statements like, there is life on other planets, something that is either true or false, but we just don't know yet. Or, children would experience less bullying and depression and develop fewer attention deficit disorders if their social media access was restricted by U.S. law. Possibly, but more research is still needed. And then, here's the fourth zone, the final zone. He calls it opinion only, a category where facts simply do not exist, or they're irrelevant. That's right, you will not find truth in this zone, and it's the zone where people make statements like, tattoos are cool, dogs make better pets than cats, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, Taylor Swift is the greatest performer of our generation, this politician is doing a great job. Well, these things are not necessary truths, or firmly established facts, or even things that might be true, more research needed. These are things that will never be true or false, because they will always be opinion, and yet these are the things most folks get most ramped up about, acting as if they're true. Which is why somewhere near the very center of our most serious cultural problems is an inability to wisely put information into the correct zone. But it's our first strategy for today in order to fall in love with truth and to find truth. TNC, take every thought captive, evaluate. Evaluate information as it comes to you and put it into one of these four zones. And now number two, second way to actually pursue, discover, and embrace what is true, prioritize expertise. And by that I mean something pretty specific. Listen. This is about getting ahead of your questions, getting ahead of your problems, identifying people and sources in your life with actual expertise in the advance of your need for their expertise. I mean, it is simply true that my friend Steve knows more about what he has done every day for the last 40 years than what I have never done with my day job. And I call him for many things. He's my great friend, but I'm also clear on a subset of things where if they happened, he would be my first call and I would trust whatever he said. Because there is such a thing as expertise. And it is simply true that the published peer-reviewed historian likely knows more about history than the comedian podcaster. And I have four or five authors, theologians, with training and a track record, whose books and podcasts and lectures I read, listen to, and watch. And if I have a question about the Bible or about some world event and what the Bible might say about it, I don't just put that question into a Google search engine and then read a bunch of information from X or TikTok. I start by prioritizing experts because I love truth. So, do you know in advance of a question who your experts are? And please don't say, well, I just do my own research when the time comes. Because what you don't mean is you're going to run the relevant experiments in a chemistry lab yourself. Or you're going to take satellite photos from space yourself. Or translate that text from ancient Hebrew to English yourself. What your phrase, doing my own research, usually refers to is the effort to sort through information, mostly online, when you don't want to trust what most mainstream experts have to say. And so you're going to go searching for other voices that are telling you what you want to hear or in a way that you want to hear it. And honestly, we just all need to do a better job of disciplining our senses, part of which means to surround ourselves, this is Proverbs chapter 15, with a multitude of counselors, with a proven track record of wisdom and various disciplines. Because you ought to know, if it's a relational question, where am I going to go? If it's a financial question or a history question or a biblical question, here are the two or three people I call first or read first. And they might have wisdom I need, or they might point me in the direction of someone else who does, or say something that will prompt my thinking to move in a different direction. This is actually the second way to pursue, discover, and embrace what is true. It is to prioritize expertise and to surround yourself with wise people who can show you the way. And finally, a third way to discover and embrace what is true is actually to simply put wisdom into practice, to experience it, because action will trump everything. Action is superior as a way to acquire knowledge than just to philosophize about it. Said another way, don't just have a theory of generosity, practice generosity. Don't just have a theory of forgiveness or exercise or hard work or habit forming. Actually move from evaluation and expertise into action. Because if you act, you're going to find out what works and what doesn't work. But if you never act, you'll never know if you were right or wrong. Further, action always leads to evidence, to new information, which will help you see what is real and true, and which can give you momentum or information for your next action. And the call of Scripture on our lives as we pursue wisdom is always to act on it. Jesus never ended an encounter, a teaching, a healing, a gathering, without a call to actually putting his wisdom into practice. And so that's our call to today. To limit voices that stir up hate, panic, worry, fear, dissension, and tribalism because the truth gets camouflaged there, and instead to take every thought captive, evaluate, and to let those who are wiser than us lead the way, expertise, and then to take actual, concrete steps and experience a life of falling in love with truth. And then I believe we're going to be that much closer to living, not just in truth, but in wisdom and enjoy. Now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you, would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, would turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.